Geek Radio Daily for Monday, May 24th, 2010. It's all the geek without the weight. It's weird. It's weird. A world without lost. I'm still not. So hi.
Wow, right? Wow.
How was your weekend? We're trying to cope with things the best we can. That, of course, being the Flintstress.
What are you doing here, you little freak?
I'm not sure.
You live here.
The world's strange. Hi, I'm Billy Flynn.
I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star.
Thank you.
Distinction, yes.
Big difference. So Monday means a look at your box office results. Geek news. Wow.
Yeah, all stuff we do.
Okay, fine.
They know.
So what happened before?
On this day in 1830, the first passenger railroad service in the United States began service between Baltimore and Ellicott Mills, Maryland. That's where I'm from, right outside of Ellicott Mills.
Yeah, okay. Yay. 1830, same day, May 24th, Mary Had a Little Lamb was written, so to celebrate the railroad.
Her fleece was really white as snow.
I've heard.
In 1884, telegraph service was inaugurated in the White House when Samuel Morse tapped out the message, what hath God wrought, in Morse code. That must have taken a lot of tap-tap-taps.
1883, the Brooklyn Bridge was opened for the first time to public traffic. It links Manhattan and Brooklyn.
Oh, in 1899, in Boston, the first auto repair shop opened.
You sounded very pleasant.
I thought it was kind of cool.
1959, the first house with a built-in bomb shelter was exhibited in Pleasant Hills, Pennsylvania.
In 1976, supersonic jet service between the U.S. and Europe started when two Concorde jets landed for the first time at D.C.'s Dulles Airport.
1988, John Moschetta set the Guinness World Record for fast talking, 586 words per minute. You know, he's the guy that used to do the Federal Express commercials talking like this when he absolutely positively guaranteed
overnight.
Oh, yeah,
got it. In 1995, Hollywood Madam Heidi Fleiss was sentenced to 3 years in prison and fined $1,500, not much, for running a call girl ring that catered to the rich and famous.
2001, 15-year-old Sherpa Temba Tesheri became the youngest person to climb the top of Mount Everest. Good job. I didn't do that. I didn't do that at all. Birthdays.
We're starting with Brian Greenberg is 31. He is Nick Garrett on October Road. I have no idea.
Remember that show, October Road? Had Donna from that 70s show.
Oh, yeah.
She was blonde, and I was like, no. Dwight, no. Will Sasso is 34 from Mad TV. He was funny. I miss him. He was funny.
Okay. Sorry. Dwight Myers, a.k.a. Heavy D.
That's right. I was saving that for you.
He's 43 from Heavy D and the Boys,
Heavy D and the men. The gentlemen.
Yeah, now they are.
John C. Reilly is 45.
Shake and bake.
There you go.
Kristen Scott Thomas is 50. She's been in a lot of stuff. The English Patient.
Oh, my God. Alfred Molina is 57. Doc Ock and tons of other things. He was great in Chocolat.
Ah. Priscilla Presley is 65, former wife of Elvis.
Silla. Gary Berghoff is 70. That's Radar. Radar from MASH.
70 years old. Wow. Tommy Chong is 72. He's so funny.
He still is funny, absolutely. And no longer with us, but thank you, sir. His birthday, our present, H.B. Reese, the inventor of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
You got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
Giggity. Was born in 1879. Okay. Sorry, bad.
You weren't supposed to take it like that.
I wasn't, but it's what I do.
Let's talk TV. On CBS, we've got our traditional lineup of How I Met Your Mother, Rules of Engagement, 2 1/2 Men, The Big Bang Theory, which we just started watching on DVD.
There you go.
And CSI Miami, all new.
ABC's got a new Dancing with the Stars. And look, it's the 2-hour premiere of The Bachelorette.
Ugh. Yuck, whatever.
Finally.
NBC brings us a new long episode of Chuck versus the Subway.
Oh, no.
Chuck versus the Ring, part 2.
Is this the season finale?
I don't know. Maybe it could be, yeah. Followed by a new episode of Law & Order.
Tonight on Fox, on 24, Jack tackles one last job. I don't know what it is, but it's going to be great, and someone's going to get beaten.
Okay. American Movie Classics has Grease,
boo,
followed by 16 Candles.
Yay. Discovery Channel showing alien solar systems. See what it looks like from other points of view in space.
BET has one of my favorite silly guilty pleasures, Sister Act. Love that stupid little movie.
FX is showing Mission Impossible 2, followed by Wild Hogs. And I'm not exactly certain which one of those is worse.
Wow.
I said it. That's right.
The Discovery Channel has alien solar systems and alien moons.
Yes, just like the alien solar systems I talked about. Spike TV showing Kung Fu Hustle, the Stephen Chow wonderful cartoon.
Good.
That's a Looney Tunes Kung Fu movie. It's fantastic.
Oh, that is good. A bad movie is on FX today. We have Wild Hogs. I mean, I guess that it's bad.
Yeah, right after Mission Impossible 2. Which one's worse? I have no idea. You're not listening to me at all, are you?
I am too listening. Wow. I'm trying.
FMC is showing down Periscope. I bet you're saying that FMC is showing down Periscope.
Oh, shut up.
We're watching Lifetime Television for Women. You're not going to join in?
Nope.
Wow. Okay. That's because 330-something gal pals shake up their tragically unsophisticated lives with a vacation to a South Padre Island hotspot for the college crowd. Parker Posey and Amy Poehler are starring in Spring Breakdown. Remember that? Straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Looked awful. I am not simply disappointed, I am clinically depressed. I watched the latest Doctor Who on BBC America last night, the one in Venice. That was the worst episode of Doctor Who I have ever seen. Really? Okay. I include episodes from the 70s and 80s where the special effects were so bad they were embarrassing. The plot was lame and so disjointed it made me feel I wasted my time. And trust me, my time is not that valuable, truth be told. They out of the blue drag the boyfriend along, and he has nothing to add. Evil alien vampire fish with perception distorters on their hips, so fragile one would assume they were made by General Motors. Damn.
Wow.
Man, if
she
they
did take it out with like one kick.
She did. If they threw in, incorporated into the plot, the words zombie, egg roll, and horse thief, they could have the Chinese cook from Bonanza Hop Sing resurrected from the dead and eat the bad fish, resolving the plot tension. Wow. Since I watch all video in 3D, since it is the way of the future, I seriously will reach into the TV and regenerate this Doctor Who with my own two hands if they don't snap till. Until, and then it ran out of words. That's from Craig. So apparently he was so angry he died while writing this. And I feel very, very bad. Well, Craig, I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it. I happen to have liked it a little more than that. Because, I don't know. I had a good time.
I'm having fun with the new Doctor. We'll see how it goes.
So, yes. So, you know, tell us what you're thinking of the new Doctor. Please drop us a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinsters, all of us at GeekRadioDaily.com. Monday means we are checking your box office results. Of course, a look at your Geekified news is coming up this Monday, May 24th edition of Geek Radio Daily.
Chris, you've got the 7 sun plans, but you don't have me. You were going to kill me, Chris. You were going to have to come down here. You're going to have to come down here.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you, and I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me, cliffhangered, marooned for all eternity in the center of a waterlogged, forgotten lab. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Chris!
The Secret Lair, the final... Oh, come on. You cannot be serious. No, I am not reading that. And what is this? These are the voyages of 230-something Midwestern geeks? Forget it. I'll say subscribe at www.thesecretlair.com, and that's it. I'm done.
Hey, this is Chris Duquesne, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And he's happy you are, so you should be, even if it is Monday.
Yeah, it is Monday.
A world.
I have a lost hangover.
I know. I'm scared. I haven't played that sounder because it was broke on the last weekly, and I've been afraid to play it. Should we try it one time just to see if it'll work?
I have a lost.
I don't even know where it
is.
I was probably trying to fix the damn thing. Oh well. What the hell are you gonna do? What the hell are you going to do?
Keep going.
The buzz that he indicated, that movie's going to make some huge bank.
Some movies did. And some not so much. Number 10, brand new this week was Kites. It made a million. I almost said a billion.
A gazillion dollars.
It made $1 million. Which, you know, you're like, wow, $1 million is really not that much money, but whatever. This week's number 9 was last week's number 5, How to Train Your Dragon. I've heard that's actually kind of cute. Who knows? It made another $1.8 million. Number 8, last week's number 6, the new version of Nightmare on Elm Street, made another $2.28 million for a total of $60 million almost.
They made their
budget, so that's something. Number 7 was also number 7 last week, Date Night. That's Steve Carell and Tina Fey. Made another $2.8 million. Made $90 million total, so they definitely did well. Total disappointment, number 6, brand new this week, MacGruber. I heard from the people, you know, that it's funny. Somebody, you know, called in a shout out at this weekly show, but I guess nobody really went to see it at the theaters this week. Hopefully it'll catch on.
I mean, what did it make? 4.1?
Yeah.
It's only a budget of $10 million. Even if this thing just stays in like 6 to 8 for a few weeks, it's going to make its money back. This could be the sleeper.
Yeah.
This could be the sleeper.
like word of mouth, and it starts to get around. Because, we'll see.
I mean, I'm interested in it now based on, I've heard from some very reputable people that you'll have a really good time with it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
We were just busy this weekend.
Number five, last week's number four, Just Right, Queen Latifah and the basketball player. Yeah, 4.2 million. It's made 14 million. They won't tell you the budget, so there. Number four, last week's number three, Letters to Juliet, making 9.1 million for a total of 27 over 2 weeks. Number three, last week's number two, Robin Hood. 18.7. It's made $66 million in 2 weeks. Budget of $200 million. I think.
It had the same budget as
Iron Man Two.
Why do they need that much money?
Well, arrows are expensive. Okay. Number two, last week's number one, Iron Man 2, made another $26.6 million, 251 in 3 weeks on a budget of the 200. So yes. It's doing it. And number one movie in America. America, really, Shrek Forever After made $71.2 million. It's a budget of $165. They're going to get that back, but and is this going to make this not be the last one after all?
God, I hope not. Let it go.
Would Hollywood lie to us? When have they ever done that?
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. We've talked about it before, and here it is. Hollywood studios are in discussion with Time Warner to offer on-demand, in-home, 30 days after a film hits theaters to your house.
Wow.
The proposal still being debated. Talks are fluid. They're talking seriously. If they can reach the agreement, they're talking to Time. They're talking to Warner Brothers, Walt Disney, GE, Universal, Sony, Paramount, Fox. Everyone's talking. They could have it if they can agree on it. End of the year, early next year.
30 days after it hits theaters or 30 days after it leaves the theater?
30 days after it hits the multiplex.
Wow.
You could pay for it to have it in your home.
But you don't get like a physical copy of the disc or anything. Weird.
No. You're going to the movies. Home theater is really home theater. That's what they're talking about.
No cell phones ringing, nobody texting, no babies crying.
It's very interesting. Independent distributors offer films on demand on the same day. You know, Independent Film Channel does that, you know, and some pay-per-views do that. So this could be the new way. The question is, what are they going to charge? Are you willing to pay $20 to see something that's been in theaters for a month?
I don't know.
We'll see.
Interesting. Well, speaking of cell phones ringing, you know, in the movie theater, cell phones ringing. Hello? Can you hear me now? But did you know that your brain is actually wired to recognize familiar sounds like your own cell phone ringing? Have you ever noticed how, like, you'll hear, you really probably not because you already have it on vibrate.
But I hear my vibrate
a lot. You hear the vibrate noise. And you can hear your phone ringing and react to it faster than pretty much any other sound, especially another kind of cell phone. They did a study in the Journal of Neuroscience, a German team at the University of Leipzig.
And
12 men and women in headphones and brave wave reading electroencephalographs.
Wow, that looked like a difficult word. I saw your brain
work on it.
I wrapped
my tongue around it and made it work.
Lucky, lucky word.
But Aiden just kind of talking about how fast your brain, and it was the difference of like 40 microseconds sooner than unfamiliar sounds. I don't know. I just thought this was kind of cool that if you feel you've ever felt that way, it really is scientifically true.
So Stephen Perry, not Steve Perry.
Okay.
Writer for 1980s cartoons such as Thundercats and Silverhawks, and currently has a comic book series called Time Spirits, which happens to feature creatures that are tall and blue. And then Avatar comes out, so his book, you know, gets some attention because look at there. He's missing. Just one day after police announced they were searching for three roommates who disappeared under mysterious circumstances, two of them are now in jail. Detectives say they arrested Roxanne and James Davis on probation and drug charges. And that they are now persons of interest in the disappearance of their roommate, Stephen Perry. Apparently, cops don't know where he is, and there's been possibly human remains found. We'll keep a lookout on this, but good God, like what? He's Florida? Strange things happen in Florida. A lot of strange things happen in Florida, but wow. Let's see. Oh, I don't. No. It's just nothing. Nothing. His family and everyone, they're worried about him, and it's just crazy.
Well, somebody out there listening knows where he is.
Find him, please. Tell me he's okay.
Goodness. Well, I've got some kind of positive news from the
sure.
science. Not exactly a cure for AIDS or anything, but some scientists have made progress in potentially defeating HIV.
Okay.
Here's what we got. Okay, apparently there's HIV-infected cells. There's this kind of like invisibility cloak around it that, you know, if you remove this chemical cloak, it makes the cells look healthy, and it may actually be the key to ridding people of the virus. Human cells protect themselves against, you know, immune attacks, right, by displaying proteins on their surface that marks them as me. Okay, it's like my cells with this protein marker. And if they can, one way that HIV like gets around the immune attack is hijacking one of these proteins, and they've isolated the protein. Basically, I mean, science is making some good progress. It's not saying that, you know, they found something specific, but this is a start, and it's actually just, you know, really cool stuff the science is working on defeating HIV.
Fantastic. Well, I love a good bit of irony, don't you?
Yes.
Warner Brothers has been sued for stealing anti-piracy technology.
What?
The claim comes from a German company called Medienpatentverwaltung. According to the infringement lawsuits filed against Warner's Technicolor and Deluxe in New York and Germany, MPV says that in 2003 it introduced the studio to a method of making films, marking them with a distinctive code so that it could be tracked back to sources of piracy to the exact theater in which an unauthorized copy originated. It's been trying to get Warner's to pay for use of the technology since it began allegedly incorporating that into all their prints starting in 2004. Quote, we disclosed our anti-piracy technology to Warner Brothers in 2003 at their request under strict confidentiality, and they started using our technology extensively without our permission and without any accounting to us. However, we had taken care to obtain patents to protect our technology, and we are now in position where we must assert our rights. They say that, they're taking them to court. They're looking for millions and millions and millions, and I just love the fact that, once again, irony bites somebody right in the ass.
Wow.
We don't like pirates. Let's steal stuff and fight them. Ha, ha, ha. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Thanks for stopping by. It's going to be a strange time, and thanks for being here, because we're going to need you to see us through, because, wow.
We need a loss support group.
Please, drop a note, won't you, to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintsters, all of us at geekradiodaily.com.
A few special friends, 'cause destiny made it so.